We begin our service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity of Love. Amen. I thank you each for your presence here this morning on this beautiful day in Austin. I know there's so many things you could be doing, so thank you for being a part of this beautiful community today, making our worship possible as it is. And all of us send love to you, wherever you might be, receiving this service online, and whenever you might watch it, we are aware of your presence in the room with us at this moment, so thank you. Just a couple announcements to draw your attention to. We have two upcoming retreats, and you can register for both of these, or one of them, or none of them, on the church website, and or you can call the church office. July 8th and 9th, Two Legs in a Body. It's an in-person and online centering prayer retreat, led by our own Sharon Johnson, who's a master yoga teacher, integrating the body into meditative centering prayer practice. So 9 to 3 on those 2 days, July 8th and 9th. Encourage you to explore that embodied way of practicing in the silence in community. And then on July 23rd, which is a Saturday, we'll do a one-day in-person centering prayer retreat here in the sanctuary, 9 to 3, and that'll be led by Beverly McCune, but that has a focus of song and silence, integrating singing and chant. So we're trying to integrate the body into some of our summertime retreats and encourage you to explore that. Those are our two primary announcements. You can find out all that's going on at the church at the church website or by taking home the church bulletin, which we prepare every week for you. And I encourage you to take that home as a spiritual resource. Also, if you'd like a digital copy of that bulletin, you can sign up to receive our Friday email on the church website. And if you're not receiving the Friday email, it's a wonderful way to stay connected with any very quick or upcoming events or announcements that need to be made to the community. Today's a special day in the life of the church because we're doing a baptism for Charlotte Cosway, who's here with her family. Baby Charlotte is a COVID baby, and so we just want to give thanks to God for her and baptize her today. We'll also be concluding our sermon series on embodied love energy, and I discovered how to get feedback as a minister. Just give a sermon on sex, and it's just wonderful, wonderful feedback. So it taught me something of what you're thinking about. No, but truly it's been a wonderful journey looking at the different types of love, and so today we'll look at agape love, which is faithful, merciful, kind, unyielding love, the love of God. So let's take a moment. There's so much occurring in the world, isn't there? So much occurring. So just breathe deeply. And what we do here on Sunday mornings is remember ourselves and remember God. And no matter what is occurring in the world, we can feel that deep, deep connection, that unmovable love of God. And so let's wish to connect and reconnect with that awareness for ourselves, for those sitting beside us, and for all of the world today, that this service would feed the world in just a little bit with a little quality of mercy and loving kindness. May it be so.
Please join us in opening to the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come. Thank you. Please stand and join your neighbors in singing, "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Please be seated. I invite Mark and Dale Cosway and their daughter Victoria and their granddaughter Charlotte to come forward for our baptism. And as they come forward, we remember that we practice infant baptism and adult baptism and youth baptism. Baptism is a symbol that marks and claims the child, the baby, even before they can decide that they what we wish for them to know and love God and what their truth is. They come from God and return to God. Victoria, I want to read the passage of poetry by Cahil Gibran, which is our tradition here at the church to read this poem. And for those of us who are parents or grandparents, it's a beautiful reminder just to take this in. We heard it as a song 2 weeks ago, which was so beautiful. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. Though they come through you, but not from you, and though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand, Victoria, be for gladness. For even as he loves the arrow that flies, he also loves the bow that is stable. Baby Charlotte. Hello, baby. Hi, sweetheart. Look at the water. We dedicate this water to the victory of consciously chosen love in your little life, that you would grow to be a woman of God, a woman of faith, and we know this to be true. Dear little one, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. What a precious little bundle. Look at your church family. Yeah. Just a beautiful reminder of essence. Yeah, here we are. The one and the many. So perfect. Thank you. I'm sorry. Let's just go. Let's just go. Bless you, Victoria.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Let's extend a blessing to this dear family, the Cosways. bless you as you raise and parent and grandparent, and may you feel the love of God through this community coming into your life, the tools and the ideas that can help you be parents and grandparents. Amen. Yeah.
Please join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the gift of unconditional, selfless love. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the way shower for the world. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have courage on the day of testing. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
We've watched a show online called Outer Range. If anyone has seen it or hasn't seen it. I didn't want to spoil it too much. But Josh Brolin is this rancher, owner, husband, father, carrying the weight of the world, so to speak, on him, not having the many tools to navigate what he's going through. He comes to a bit of a breaking point. He never believes in God. He sits in the back of the church and reads the newspaper while the family worships. But something really, really, really bizarre is happening, and he doesn't know how to handle it. And so he sits down for dinner with his family, and they start to eat, and he says, I want to pray. And of course, they all just look at him because they can't believe he wants to pray. And some of Josh Brolin's finest acting, he begins a prayer. This is one prayer of two prayers that I've heard recently that have come out in movies. Wonderful B influences. No, A influences. But little B influence hidden in the A influence of these movies. The other prayer was taken from Don't Look Up. The most unlikely person gives a prayer at the end of the world. And they're sitting around the dining table. And it's a beautiful self-remembering moment. But Josh Brolin begins this prayer basically saying, I don't know if you're there, God. And he starts working into this emotion that he has. And he finally climaxes his emotion by saying, I hate you! God, I hate you! In the middle of his prayer. And it's a powerful prayer. It's worth watching the second episode of the series just for that prayer. And the frustration he expresses is the frustration of being a man in this world and trying to manage his family, trying to manage his farm, trying to manage the craziness that is going on. And he has this little phrase, because it's his experience, he says, there's a great void between you and me, God. And I thought, that is so powerful. How many of us have ever felt that way? I would suspect almost every human being on this planet has wanted to say, there's a fucking great void. Where are you, God? And when you think of how privileged we are, and the problems that we have as Americans, as white people for the most part, these middle class white people living in one of the finest cities in the world. When you think about the problems that we deal with in contrast to some of the problems and difficulties that other humans have dealt with over the course of human history, reminds me of a quote by Ernest Hemingway in his book, A Farewell to Arms. The world breaks everyone. The world breaks everyone. And afterward, many are strong at the broken places. The world breaks everyone. But afterward, many are strong at the broken places. It's really a beautiful way of putting it, that we have our broken places, there's no question about it, but we also can be a people of great gratitude for all we have been given and learn from those who have suffered before us, and learn from those who have faced the void, the great void that we all feel, and believed through it, and struggled through it, and loved through it, and in so doing, left a mark in this world, some known and some unknown. Bernadette Roberts, one of our teachers, she said, God is an easy truth. God is an easy truth. Christ is a hard truth. And by that she meant the more you bring God down to this earth, to our level, the harder it is to comprehend God. That God is here with us? You really start to wonder about that. God is an easy truth for many people intellectually, but to bring God close to us, to really feel and commit one's life to God on this level, on this planet, in this world, in your lifetime, in my lifetime, with my stuff, my personality, your stuff, your personality, in the particularity of our daily life, to believe in God here and now And to live in congruence with that belief is a hard thing for most of us. This passage that was read from 1 John chapter 4 has got to be one of the most powerful passages in the New Testament. You know, if you had your top 10, maybe your top 5 passages to reflect upon and read and internalize and to pray, this would certainly be one of them. It's a hymn to love, and not only just love, but the love that God has for us and the love we have for God and the love that spills out for one another when we have the love of God and when the love of God for us is filling us and how it flows out to others. And so you can't tell where the love ends, and it's this quantum interconnectedness between God as love and God flowing to you as love and you loving God, and your love is God to another person as it flows to them, and their love to you is flowing back as God. It's extraordinary. And yet, it is true to say that God is love, but it is not equally true to say love is God. It's a great mystery. There's a great void. And we stand at it and we just wonder and ponder. Today, we're concluding that series on embodied love energy. And so just as a review, for those of you who are new or haven't heard the series yet, we started out talking about friendship love, which is the Greek word phileo, where we get Philadelphia from, brotherly love, friendship love. And it's the quality of love that we really is very nurturing and supporting and encouraging, and so many of us need to cultivate that friendship love. I need that friendship love in our culture. It's so hard to cultivate that friendship love, that a place where you are known and where you are loved for who you are. Friendship love. Friendship love is different from the second week. We looked at family love. Storge is the Greek word. Storge love is that affectionate, nuzzling, nurturing love that is appropriate for families. Friendship love can occur in family love. There's no question about that. But family love is deeper. Family love, for many of us, is where we get to discover who we are and work out our stuff. And we can't choose our families. So many of us get to choose our friends and choose our spiritual families, our communities, that third space where we get to be with other people that can support us and love us in ways that sometimes our family of origin can't. Then last week we looked at Eros love, which is that passionate energy, that physical embodied love, oftentimes viewed as sex love or sexual energy that can both be productive, reproductive, but also very creative in generating a quality of life. And so today we just want to look at this most excellent way of ways of life, this most profound way of life, the deepest, fullest, most richest expression of the quality of love that human beings know about and can embody, and that is agape love. Now, agape love is a very mysterious Greek word, agape word. It's similar to a Hebrew word that was used to talk about God's love, chesed, God's chesed love. And that chesed love was that ever-loving kindness, that unyielding, faithful, unmovable, tender, merciful love, the quality of love that's unconditional, the quality of love that you would want someone to give you that only ultimately God can give you. The quality of love that others want from you, but we can't. And so we tap into God's love, then it empowers our love. Agape love is the Greek term for this highest quality or highest expression of love. And it's something that all of us can aspire to in many, many ways in different aspects of our lives. That faithful, unmovable, unconditional, unyielding, unrelenting, pursuing, passionate love for you just because love does just that. It loves. And anyone who's experienced that kind of love is a lucky, lucky person in this lifetime. And people become a reflection of God's love. So before we go a little bit further into this, I think it would be useful just to step back and talk a little bit about and nuance out this idea, what we mean by God. What is it that we mean by God's love for us and our love for God? What does it mean to receive love from God, and what does it mean to love God? Who or what are you loving? Am I loving when I say I love God? Who or what are you loving when you say that you love God? How would you know that someone is loving God? How would you know if you were loving God versus just loving yourself or loving something that you get by way of loving God? Loving the goodies that God gives, so to speak. How would you ever really know if you're really loving God? Isn't that an interesting question? Anyone have an answer? How would we know if we're loving God? Now, here is the great, 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 great mystery. And hopefully these little quotes, which come from primarily poets, two men of great spiritual connection and mystery and depth of being, their being, hopefully, will tease this out in a non-linear, in other words, not just a left brain way, but hopefully a right brain way. And in so doing, we begin to approximate and come close to a feeling that isn't an answer, but it's a feeling that gives us insight and direction. Kind of like a magnetic sensation when that needle starts getting close to north, and that magnetism, you can just feel it, that you're getting there. The first quotation is from the poet Rumi, a mystic of mystics in the Sufi tradition of Islam. And this is from his poem, Bee Melting Snow. Lo, I am with you always. Nearer when you look for God. God is in your eyes. In your very thought of looking, nearer to you than yourself, or things that happened to you. Be melting snow. Wash yourself with yourself. I'll read that again. Because here we have a beautiful being, a man of great wisdom and spiritual depth, pointing us in the direction that you cannot really know where you end and God begins. And so to love God is, in some ways, to love yourself. And to love yourself is to love God. In this great mystery of the union that God has with human beings in our deepest center, a union that we often forget about soon after the little baby starts developing at 3 or 4 years old and has a sense of separation from itself, and from its mother, and from its outer world. And that inner eye gets covered over. So let Rumi's wisdom just remind us all once again. Lo, I am with you always, nearer when you look for me. I am in your eyes. I am in your very thought of looking. I am nearer to you than your own self, or things that happen to you. Be melting snow. Wash yourself with yourself. So it's really powerful just to feel into that. I'm not going to explain it. I'm just going to let it do its thing. And so the mystery in a contemplative community for us is that we could begin to play around and transform work into play, as the first arcanum of the Meditations on the Tarot teaches us. And it's such a beautiful way to begin that book, Transforming Work into Play, because you could say transform God into play, transform prayer into play, transform love into play, transform your life into play, and every yoke that is burdensome will become light. And page 10 is what we used to say, make a joyful work out of this. And everything can become playful and a part of the great play that is God between this being that is you and the great mystery, the great void that is God and that all that is beyond, all that is in the great cloud of unknowing. There are a couple of ways of thinking and structuring in terms of our understanding of what God is and what it is that we're loving. And depending on the system and how you answer these questions, will affect your version of love, or even if you should love something more than yourself. And in the recovery tradition, we know that one of the first steps to freedom is acknowledging that there is something more than yourself, beyond yourself, something higher than yourself, a higher power. So, so important. So we can go down the rabbit trail of worshiping ourself and turning our whole life, if self is God and God is self, and just go for it. But we discovered that's not what this wisdom is teaching us. That the self ultimately is united to God, and it's hard to know where the self ends and God begins, but it must first kneel to God, consent to God, surrender to God. And in the surrendering is the beginning of loving. Because if you're just surrendering to yourself, how can you love yourself? It's like a mirror turning on itself. There must be something of an other there. There must be a relationality. And so it is both I and thou, the mystery of this oneness, a oneness with distinction. And so we all are familiar with the atheistic perspective, just a simple way of being to say there is no God. So don't even bring that into the consideration or the category, that really love becomes a pragmatic means to structuring culture and society. Or an existential, you could say, excuse for living. Because to believe that love is meaningful without God or any kind of higher creator or purpose in life is practical and pragmatic, and it's just a good way to live and be. But the atheistic approach I find to be quite bankrupt, even though it has been appealing to me in my lifetime at various points, because the mind can't get it. It's just easier to throw it all out. But when I have thrown it out in my little two-day periods where I gave into really being an atheist, I discovered that while I was an atheist, I was still mad that the life in the world was the way it was. There is a great void. I hate you. It became a living contradiction to myself. Wait a minute. What do you hate? The meaninglessness, the nothingness? That's all that there is without a God. How can you hate something? How can you hate reality if this is just the way it is? You can see why people take their lives when they come to that edge of hopelessness, of meaninglessness. It's such an intellectual rabbit hole, and it doesn't lead to good things in society and culture. Just look at the last 150, 200 years of cultural civilization and the traditions that atheism fueled politically and culturally. It's not a good rabbit hole to go down for anyone. And even the most hardened of atheists still can't get around the question, where does value and love come from? It's very challenging to get around that question. There are hard questions for the theist too, but I'm just saying that atheism is definitely a way of going about answering this question. Then there's theism, which has its multiple expressions like polytheism, deism, monotheism. We don't need to get into that. Then there is pantheism, which basically says that everything's God. And then there's this thing called panentheism. Perhaps you've never heard that word, but it's a nuancing of pantheism. It doesn't say that everything is God, it says that everything is in God and God is in everything. And panentheism, to me, is so compelling way of articulating what the Trinitarian viewpoint has always been teaching, what Christianity has been teaching, what many of the mystical traditions have been teaching, using different terms. And we're not going to go into this right now any further, but I just wanted to just simply highlight the menu options that are there and how which path you choose will affect and impact what you're loving. If you're a deist in a theist tradition, deism is essentially just a kind of mind expression that wound up the clock, created it, put it in motion, and left it be. Kind of an absentee landlord. So you can see why deists might be intellectually comforted that the world has some purpose, but emotionally disconnected. How do you love an absentee landlord? it leads in some sense to frustration and anger, in my view, and experience. Monotheism, in various forms, posits that the world is created by God and that God is not the world and that God is other. It's above the world, beyond the world, higher than the world. Bernadette Roberts so simply took a blank piece of paper and drew a very thick black line across the paper horizontally. And she said, above is God, the unmanifest creator of heaven and earth, and below is the manifested creation, human beings and everything that exists. God Almighty and the creation and all that exists, the universe and all that exists, and neither the two shall meet. But then she said, but the line is Christ, the union of the unmanifested Almighty Creator God of the heavens and the earth and the manifested creation. I just thought, oh my gosh. And if we're in Christ, then there's Christ in us and we're in Christ, and there's the panentheism right there. And then you add in that, into that the Spirit that Jesus promises and the Christ gives that participates in our life. So now we're caught up in that line. So the dividing line is the uniting line. It's so beautiful. So back to this second poem now. And this is by Rainer Rilke, who is one of my favorite poets. Rilke, Rainer, he was a man. I didn't know if he was a man or a woman. I had to look that up when I first started reading him, because his poetry is so profound. Rainer Rilke. And this is from the Book of Monastic Life. This is kind of like a prayer poem, you could say. He was a modern person, lived in the 1900s. I love you, gentlest of ways. That's his title for God. I love you, gentlest of ways, who ripened us as we wrestled with you. You, the great homesickness we can never shake off. You, the forest that always surrounds us. You, the song we sang in every silence. You, dark net threading through all of us. You began yourself so greatly on that day when you began us. And we have grown and spread in your sunlight, far and firmly planted. That now in all people the work is done. Let your hand rest on the rim of heaven, now and always, mutely bear the darkness we bring over you. Wow. This is the best theology I have ever read. You want to hear it again?
Yes.
I love you, gentlest of ways, who ripened us as we wrestled with you. You, the great homesickness we could never shake off. You, the forest that always surrounds us. You, the song we sang in every silence. You, dark net threading through all of us. You began yourself so greatly on that day when you began us. And we have ripened and spread in your sunlight, far and firmly planted, so that now in all people the work is done. Let your hand rest on the rim of heaven, now and always, and mutely bear the darkness we bring over you. You can just take that in your emotional center, in the intellectual part of your emotional center, and feel something so profound, and know something beyond knowing. And this is what we love. And this is the unnameable named name called God. Teilhard de Chardin put it this way: all around us, to the right and to the left, in front and behind, above and below, we have only to go a little beyond the frontier of sensible appearances in order to see the divine welling up and showing through by means of all created things, without exception. The divine assails us, penetrates us, and molds us. We imagine it, this God, as distant and inaccessible. But in truth, we live steeped in it. Steeped and stewing in it. That great day that God created itself and created us, this intermingling of whatever God is, whoever God is, and the revelations that God has given to this planet to reveal what God is and who God is. And like a beautiful, loving parent, this super conscious being, or process, or presence, or energy that we name God, speaks to us at our level of capacity. And it seems that God has been speaking and reaching out to humankind over the centuries and over the millennia in the ways that they could bear it then. And so whatever you don't like about the Old Testament or those ancient scriptures that were written a long time ago, the parallel is simply, it's like, don't expect a third grader to be able to understand trigonometry. Teach them simple algebra or simple addition. And in time, they will learn how to understand and be ready to receive trigonometry. And so it is that we are receiving new understanding of God, transcending and including the old ways of understanding God, the old ways that lead to fear and division, the old ways that lead to dead ends, that lead to closed hearts. And to know and to understand the revelation that Jesus was here to show, that God is love, and to demonstrate that love on the stage of human history. How to say this? My brother-in-law, who is a rapper and a poet, put it this way: we are loved before we love, we are held before we hold. We are loved before we love, we are held before we hold. And it's such a beautiful witness to what Jesus has shown us. On that cross, in the face of the military empire of his day, in the face of the letter of the law that was eighth grade religion, thinking it was PhD level, they couldn't let go to receive the new. It's like the trapeze artist holding on and missing the new. They won't fly if you hold on. To let go of the Torah, to receive the Messiah, to let go of the law, to receive the grace. What a moment. And Jesus was here revealing that. It's a key hinge moment. And that revelation that Jesus gave us was unconditional love. He demonstrated unconditional love. He demonstrated agape love. They will know you're Christians by your love. And how will we know what it love is? Love is the sacrifice of self in the face of other options. Love is the sacrifice of self in the face of many other good options. Jesus could have defended himself. He could have turned and used his powers. He could have done many other things. He could have remained a contemplative and hung out up in the hill country of the Galilee, fishing. He could have shagged up with Mary Magdalene. Very appealing. But thy will, not my will. And into thy hands I commit my spirit, that sacrificial love. And he is demonstrating what agape love is for us. It's an easy thing to believe in God. It's a very, very hard thing to believe in that cross, sacrificial love. It's even harder to live it out. There's a great void. I hate you, God. That's not what Jesus said when he faced the great void. He sweat blood, true. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They've forgotten themselves. They don't know how to love. We are an experiment on this planet in the teachings of the work of inner Christianity. I've run out of time. I'm not going to read it. But there's a beautiful passage on page 1286 of the volume 4 of commentaries which explains what is beyond personality, what is beyond essence, what is beyond real I, what is God hiding in plain sight beneath or behind all of us. And it's so easy to get lost in the veneer of human beings and bodies and differences and labels and right and wrong and believing this and believing that and this politics and this politics. It's so easy to hate based on the surface of things and even a little bit deeper than the surface of things. It's so easy to get caught in that field of influences. But if we look deeper than the surface, look deeper than the personality, look deeper than the essence, look deeper than the real I, the work says that there is God behind real I. Like a Russian nesting doll, peeling away, peeling away, peeling away, exactly what Rumi said and exactly what Rilke said. The question is, how do we live this life of love, this agape love? It happens in small ways. Mr. Gurdjieff said, learn how to love your plant. Start with the plant, start with an animal, and then try your spouse and your kids. There are great answers to how to love and to how to learn how to love like this in the teachings of the work of inner Christianity. I've been a Christian a very long time, all my life, but I didn't know how to be a Christian, really, until I started reading these books. These aren't the only answer in the world out there, but it is certainly, for our times, a most graceful answer, a most desperately needed answer. Let's take a moment in the silence. You've heard what I've had to say from my heart. Whatever void you might be feeling, whatever your angst or struggle or wrestling with God might be, let's just all wish to come into contact beyond all forms and names with that power of love. Touch us with your unconditional love, Lord God Almighty, that we would learn how to love unconditionally in a world of so many conditions and reactions. Help us, Lord. Have mercy in your mercy. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives.
Thank you.
Most gracious, loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, revealer of divine love through Jesus, comforter of all who seek and grieve by the Spirit, we dedicate this Eucharist and the energy of this healing prayer to Andy Boone and Arthur Denny, both in need of divine healing at this hour, and to any others that we bring into this room, into the silence, as we lift them up now in our hearts. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and we know that you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray with. It lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
You alone can satisfy our hunger. You are the bread of life. You alone can satisfy our thirst. You are the water of life. You alone can satisfy our hunger. You are the
Thank you.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body of love. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with Amazing Grace. We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands, our hearts, or consciousness, whether we give electronically online, by way of mail, or here in the basket at the back of church. Let's declare this truth over our lives, of our brothers and sisters. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Thank you so much for being here, for making this service what it has been. If you're new or visiting, I'd love to meet you. I'll be standing up front here after service. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit remind us all of the gift of love and selfless love indeed. Amen.